This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Make no mistake about it. It's show business. There is business involved behind it all. Walt Leger joins us now, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. Talk about a new and unique way of marketing the city. How you doing, Walt?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm well, sir, and thank you. It was very nice of y'all to host us for Mardi Gras as you did for the Super Bowl. An outstanding job by all of you all. And before we get to this Broadway thing, and I spoke to you a little bit on Mardi Gras Day, but for those that were not listening, tell me about the after view of Mardi Gras from New Orleans & Company in this extraordinary, I guess, year that we've had so far. Hard to believe it's already March 6th.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it's been a really interesting and I think productive 2025. And, you know, 6 months ago, we really were leaning in hard on the concept that Taylor Swift, Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, three of the most iconic events happening anywhere on the planet in this 4 or 5 month period. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to kind of paint this picture to the world that we are uniquely situated, uniquely built to host these types of iconic events so that we can continue to attract them in the future. And I think we really came through with flying colors. I'm so grateful to the broader community for all the incredible work that was done here. The people who work on the front lines, the businesses, the city itself, the city leadership, the law enforcement community, the partnerships across the region and the state. You know, I mean, it's been incredible, and the feedback has been amazing that we've received from customers and from people around the world, but also the media value of the promotion of our community has just been off the charts. I mean, you really can't pay for the type of exposure that we've gotten over the last 6 months. So really incredible, remarkable run for us. And now we just got to ride the momentum.
You know, as you say that, and when it comes to tourist destinations, I think whenever I do things here on the air, and I don't do a lot of it anymore, but when I were to ask people, what's the best experience that you've ever had, or where would you like to go, or what movie would you like to see, or what would you like to have for, you know, your favorite meal? A lot of times I don't get an answer because it's hard for people to come from nothing with something. You understand what I'm saying? If you give them a choice, easier.
Yep,
if you say A, B, or C, it's a lot easier than an open-ended question. And the reason I ask that, because it seems like when it comes to tourist destinations, it's all about top-of-mind awareness, and you guys know that, and that's what you're trying to do? Accurate or not?
Amen. Yeah, amen. I think that's absolutely right. When you really think about it, what you want is for your marketing and the messaging to seep into people's heads to the point where one day they just sit up and say, you know where I really want to go? I want to go to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And they're not even always sure exactly why. Mm-hmm. They just get that feeling. And I think that's what good marketing and that's what good promotion does. And I think we all fall victim to that sometimes. You know, you're not quite sure why you want to buy that shirt or why mm-hmm. you want to purchase that vehicle, but something is telling you that that's the right choice for you to make. And so being top of mind when people are, you know, ready to make a decision is where you really want to be. And that's not an easy thing to do in today's marketplace.
And I wanted to say that because that's why I think what you guys are doing on Broadway is brilliant. Tell everybody what I'm talking about, if you will, please.
Well, you know, we're excited to be a sponsor of Pirates of Penzance musical that is a reimagined Gilbert and Sullivan 19th century comic opera that'll be running by the Roundabout Theater Company up in New York in the theater district starting very soon. We're a sponsor of it. It gives us a chance to get in front of that audience. They've actually reimagined it and set it in New Orleans featuring jazz and and bluesy adaptations of the popular classics musical number. So I think an interesting opportunity to just be there. We'll be able to show some of our branding and other marketing materials in the lobby, and also be able to connect with that audience, which we know is a traveling audience and an audience that spends. And the hope is that while we're staying top of mind with them, as they see this this musical, that they'll leave the show and think about their next trip to New Orleans.
That's what I thought was so brilliant about it, because when it comes to audience and target, it's not New York people. It's people from out of town that go to see Broadway plays for the most part, right? And it's people that have disposable income and that are looking to travel and have fun. And I don't know how this idea came about. Tell me.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of credit goes to Mark Romig, of course, our chief marketing officer, and he leads this effort, and he was connected with them somehow and did some due diligence, dug through it. You know, New York is a great market for us to be in. It's just an expensive market to be in. And so when you can find an opportunity that is on the affordable side of things, we'll be able to, capture some email addresses and some other contact information by these folks who are clicking on the QR code on our advertising. And they'll be able to register to win a trip to New Orleans, and then we'll have a direct contact with these folks moving forward. So I credit Mark and his team with identifying the opportunity and then thinking about, more ways that we can connect directly with people, because the data is showing us that the average adult in America is being bombarded by 5,000 to 10,000 advertisements every day. And finding ways to be creative and to access a specific market that, as you suggested, we know travels, we know is looking for experiences, we know they're culture seekers and looking for great culture, and we know that our community has it in abundance. Thought that this was an opportunity to give it a shot and see how it works. And then, of course, we'll track our work and we'll either look at doing it again, or we'll move on to some other strategy to try to impact the marketplace.
What I love about it is the outside-the-box thinking here and new creative ways. We'll pick it up when we come back with Walt Leger, talking about a musical that is based on Pirates of Penzance. I wish I had seen it, but I had not. But it reimagines that Gilbert and Sullivan. Is that a comic opera? What do they call it thing?
I think they would call this a comic opera.
Yep. Operetta, whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, but I've never seen it, but I've heard a lot about it. And with a New Orleans theme, I just think this is one of the best ideas I've heard of in a long time. And it's creative and it's out of the box and it's a target audience. We'll talk more. We'll come back with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. They do an outstanding job to market the city. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. That's from the Pirates of Penzance. And there's a musical on Broadway, a comic opera that has been morphed into New Orleans theme that New Orleans & Company is sponsoring, and it seems like a great idea to get people to want to come to New Orleans and visit. Walt, when it comes to Broadway plays, and Lord knows, I toured in Death of a Salesman. I was on Broadway, I think, for like 15 years playing Willie Loman now. The time just escapes me, and Lord knows I won my Tonys and everything else. But but seriously, when it comes to Broadway plays, and I don't know how this works, is this the kind of thing where, is it on Broadway? Does it go to a bigger theater eventually, or is it in a big theater now? I'm just curious about that.
Well, yeah, so my appreciation is it's a pretty big production. You've got David Hyde Pierce in it, for example.
Oh,
you've
from,
also got
Frasier,
some other.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. And you've got some other, folks who have been around quite a bit, Phantom of the Opera and others. And so big productions. Previews are starting April 4th. It opens on April 24th, scheduled for a 3-month run. But my understanding is that that's what our expectation of what this is going to be. I guess we'll see what happens as it gets started. But the Roundabout Theater is the largest nonprofit theater in New York City and on Broadway. And so, they know what they're doing. We're excited to see how great the product is and recognize the opportunity to connect with a market that is not always easy to connect so directly to.
How long in the planning was this? Because something like this just doesn't happen, right?
Well, so I think they approach a variety of people looking for financing. That's the business of the industry.
Right.
And over the last 6 months or so, Mark and his team have done their due diligence and made some decisions. We've gone through our budget process. We've looked at we're looking for creative ways to get the message out there and innovative ways to do it. And my theory is that we give some of these things a shot, and if they work, then we rinse and repeat. And if they don't, then we find something else to try to be effective. And I just think that the marketplace that we find ourselves in is one that's evolving all the time, trying to get people's attention and capture their imagination is not something that's easy. So we've got to be flexible and we've got to be innovative. And it's exciting when you get an opportunity to do something that that hadn't been done.
I think you guys split the uprights with this one. We'll have to see how it works out. But congratulations on the out-of-the-box thinking. And unlike the producers, we want this to be a hit, right?
Let's do it. We would absolutely like it to be a hit, especially for New Orleans.
Thank you. Well, still waiting on that football. Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec. The IRS released a list of the Dirty Dozen worst tax scams to watch out for. They're thinking new ways every day to scam you. We'll try to keep you from getting scammed when we come back on WWL. 8:42, 18 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Beautiful Thursday morning. It'll be a nice Friday, too, tomorrow. And then, unfortunately, some rain comes in on Saturday. But the good thing about that is it gets out of the way by Sunday in time for the postponed truck parades and also the Kurobarkas parade that's going to happen in a quarter. And then next week's will be beautiful springtime. If you got some outdoor activities planned, maybe you want to play some golf or take the week off, paint the house, that'd be your time to do it. Plenty of sunshine, highs between 70, say, and 80. So enjoy, because before you know it, it's going to be brutally hot. Alex Hammerstone joins us now, Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec. How you doing, Alex?
Not bad. It's a great morning here. It was 58 degrees here yesterday, and right now it's 27 and snowing. So we really get all the seasons in a 24-hour period. So
when does it really turn like spring for you all?
It changes every year, really. I mean, we've had plowable snow in May before, a few years ago, but
really?
Last year we had a pretty early spring. Yeah, so it gets pretty nice. April starts to be pretty nice here. Not every year, but usually.
Now, I'm trying to think, when I went to the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and then went to Cleveland and toured, it was August, and I don't think it was that terribly hot, is it, in the summertime?
It when I was a kid, it used to get pretty hot, close to triple digits. And some years it does, and some years it doesn't. It's really odd. Sometimes it's humid, sometimes it's not. So we really just kind of play it by ear and are ready for anything around here.
Alex, tell us a little bit. I always tell you, I see you're the Director of Advisory Solutions for TrustedSec. Tell us what TrustedSec is.
So we are an information security consulting company, and we have clients around the world, everything from sole proprietorships to members of the Fortune 50. And we do a lot of things. We help companies stay secure. So we build information security programs. We're probably best known for what's known as ethical hacking or penetration testing, where we have a bunch of people on a team that are paid by companies to break into those companies and then share with the companies, how we did it and how to fix it. But we really do provide a number of services to organizations.
Now, Mr. Hammerstone, you don't have to answer the question if you don't want to, but were you at some point in your life an unethical hacker that switched sides?
Never. And actually, I work on the advisory team here, so I do a lot more of the kind of consulting on business issues and security issues and scams. So.
Just wondering, you never know.
It's interesting because a lot of people want to get into the field, and there certainly are people now that had let's say checkered pasts, but these days, having any kind of conviction or anything like that really keeps you out of the business.
Let me ask you this, and you didn't come on and talk about this, but since we have a couple of extra minutes, for people that have kids that are trying to find their way through life and trying to find what's next when it comes to the internet and where some job opportunities are, how would one go about becoming an ethical hacker?
So there are a few different ways. Schools do teach it now, so there are degree programs, with kind of various outcomes. But a lot of people really are self-taught. So there's a lot of conferences people go to. There are a lot of free tools and tutorials out there people use. And then a number of people, will join, law enforcement or military and kind of learn that way. The founder of our company was in the Marine Corps and did the cybersecurity and pieces like that. So that's where he got his start, kind of after, being kind of a hobbyist when he was younger. Mm-hmm. But really, these days, there are a lot of different ways into security. The other thing for people, if you're listening and are interested in the field, there are the technical pieces, right? A lot of people want to be kind of the hackers. But there's also a lot of the compliance and legislative concerns around security, and those are not going away. Those are only growing. So from a career perspective, I would encourage anyone to look at kind of the governance and compliance parts of security programs as well.
And I don't know if this is a crazy question or not, but I have asked numerous guests this after having lunched with a burgeoning young journalist that's on their way to a career. You know, when you think about, let's say TV, you went from radio to broadcast TV to cable TV to streaming. I'm just wondering what's next. Do you have any idea? You're in the industry. What would be next after streaming? Because it's not going to stop at streaming, is it, when it comes to programming and all?
I think at some point maybe it's going to be a lot more immersive, right? So those glasses, so maybe everyone's sitting around kind of watching programming on their glasses and it looks like you're in a theater. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. Maybe, VR really takes off, so virtual reality.
Individualized more than a group experience?
I would think so. Unfortunately, society seems to be moving towards individualized experiences anyway. But I really do think more immersive experiences. And, when you kind of get into kind of the science fiction pieces, you start to look at the things that can actually kind of tap into your body and kind of give you, experiences so you might feel like you're flying or something like that. Maybe that's down the road. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I still like to watch TV the old-fashioned way, kind of with the family and laugh together. But it does seem like young people really are into these individual experiences.
I always like to think of 10 years down the line, what's it going to be? Let's talk about IRS scams. The IRS released their list of Dirty Dozen. Is there anything new under the sun here, or is it just old scams being repackaged with an IRS label?
A lot of it's pretty similar to what we've seen in the past, right? And they really kind of run from what's most common. So it's things like we all get these text messages constantly, right, telling us we're in trouble with the IRS or we have a big refund or something like that. The IRS doesn't communicate that way. They'll always call you first, right? Your first contact with the IRS is not going to be a text message. And so if you ever get a text message or an email from the IRS out of the blue, you can pretty much ignore that. And then it kind of goes into the scams I think people like to talk about because they seem like movie things, but you might even see, fake tax preparation. Somebody sets up a storefront and people come in and
wait a minute, you're talking about sting stuff now you're gonna be talking about watching TV, now you're talking about the sting, the movie back from way back where they set up the phoning betting parlor. That's what you're talking about, a phony tax preparation place storefront, or
yep,
what
that's happened, yep, where people will kind of claim to do your taxes for you and you go in there and you give them all your information and then they don't file anything, they just take your information and it's off to the races.
So that's H&R much more rare. Says H&R Broke instead of H&R Block, right?
Right, something like that. Yeah. But as I said, those are the things that are less likely, but more, I think, people like to talk about because they're fascinating. But, the other thing is really, I've done a number of seminars with kind of banks and they're telling their customers, really avoid blue mailboxes, right, whenever you can. So if you have a check or you're mailing your tax return, go inside the post office, put it in the box inside the post office. Because at least around here, it used to be unheard of that people would touch the mail. Mm-hmm. But there have been a number of stories in the past few years where letter carriers have been robbed at gunpoint for their master keys to get into the blue mailboxes. And people have been stealing data that way or stealing information that way right from the mail. So, be careful with your paper, too. Because I think we talk a lot about electronic security, but there's huge risks with the amount of information that we have on paper, especially in tax season.
Man, I'm just sitting here stunned because we invited you on to talk about the with TrustedSec and scams and threats with electronic media, and the first two out of your mouth are phony storefronts where it appears to be a tax service but it's not, or mailing stuff because the mail people are getting held up on the street. My gosh in heaven. Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. When we come back. We will talk about the electronic scams that are going around. And one of the rules I can tell you right now that Alex will agree with is if it sounds too good to be true, it is, and nothing's free. More when we return. If you have any questions or comments about internet scams, security, etc., 504-260-1870. That is the Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Time now for traffic on WWL. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Alex Hammerstone with Trusted Sec, who is all about internet security. He's the Director of Advisory Solutions. We're talking about IRS scams. Let's talk about some individual ones. Maybe we've already addressed online account help from individual online account help from scammers, where the IRS supposedly, again, it's not the IRS, but they're posing as IRS agents, reaching out to you saying, "Hey, Alex, can I help you file your return?"
So these happen all the time. And again, these are kind of the scams that are consistent across the year. It's just they use the taxes or the tax season as kind of their context this time of year. And I think it's another one, you know, again, we never want to blame victims of crime or victims of scams, but we do need to kind of have some common sense and know that, you know, that the IRS is not going to randomly reach out to you on social media, right? There's no situation ever where you're going to be on Facebook or Instagram and the IRS is going to, you know, send you a message saying, "Can we help you with your taxes?" It just does not happen.
And that leads us to, a similar kind of thing, the overstated withholding scam, where that could really get people's attention. Where what do? They contact you and say, "Dude, you're withholding too much money. We got to send some of this back to you." Is that the way it works?
Yep. So a lot of these scams will promise money, right? I mean, again, we kind of talk about this, that, you know, scams don't function by promising you, you know, reasonable, you know, 7% returns year over year. They always promise the moon, right? They're always promising, you know, a large amount of money or something that's going to get your attention. And the fact of the matter is the IRS will never reach out to you about your withholding, right? I mean, that's something that you work on with your HR department and your company. So that's just not kind of in their purview that they're going to call you about that. The other thing, again, it's the theme of unsolicited messages, right? I mean, the IRS is just not going to reach out to you, you know, to help you file your taxes or help you save money. You know, there are legitimate organizations, I'm sure, that can kind of help you lower your tax burden. But again, the reputable ones are not going to be sending unsolicited text messages and calls.
What about like charities and trying to say, you know, you still got time? Is that, how do these charitable scams work?
So there are a number of different ways that kind of charitable scams work. You know, from simple things that, you know, are technically legal but unethical, right? Where you don't notice that you signed up for a recurring payment, you know, when you try to give money once. You know, other just altogether fake charities, right? It's not an entity that actually exists. And so they'll collect money on behalf of something. You see those quite often with like GoFundMes or things like that, when there's kind of a well-known tragedy, either locally or nationally. Or it may be a charity that's legitimate, and this is, you know, but they don't really spend any money doing the thing they claim. So they're collecting money and taking the tax benefits and not actually doing things. So there's a lot of different ways that charities may scam. But keep in mind, if you donate to a fake charity hoping for that tax deduction and it's not, you know, a real charity, you're not getting that deduction.
And they even target tax professionals with some of this stuff, with new client scams and spear phishing. Tell me about that.
They do. And if you think about it, right, what's the saying? I rob banks because that's where the money is, right?
Absolutely.
And so if you think about it, if somebody comes after you or me, you know, they can get our data, right? They can get our W-2 or our information. But if you go to the source, right? But your tax preparer might have the information of 1,000 people. And so if you break into, you know, your account or my account, you get ours. But if you break into the tax preparers, you might get 1,000. A lot more payoff for them. And so they'll try to scam or trick, the tax preparers. They'll send them phishing emails with, you know, links to malicious websites, or they'll, you know, ask for additional information or what have you to get into the tax preparer system. And really, it's much more efficient for them to steal all that data at once as opposed to one at a time.